And find Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. This is the second sermon in a series of sermons, on God's design for families. And the message tonight, passing on the faith, God's design for leading your children to Christ. Every Christian parent's heart's desire is that his or her children will come to know God through saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I don't mind saying categorically tonight that as a father and as a grandfather, I would rather my children and grandchildren work for minimum wage and be saved and live for the glory of King Jesus and go to heaven than to become a multimillionaire or be elected governor or chief justice of the Supreme Court or president of the United States and live a reprobate life and go to hell. Amen. It's that important. And parents, it ought to be that our greatest ambition would be to bring our sons and daughters to a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, who alone can save them from their sin and transform them and make them new and take them to heaven. If we succeed here as parents, then little else matters, no matter how we might fail otherwise. And if we fail here as parents, well, tragically, there's eternal loss. And so tonight, I want us to think about passing on the faith, leading your children to Christ. And I don't want to talk tonight about just a simple gospel presentation. I'm going to talk to you about that at the end of the message. But I want to talk about far, far more than a gospel presentation. I want to suggest to you tonight that the Christian faith is both caught and taught. Now, one time I thought it was more caught than taught, but I believe it's both. Both are equally important. Therefore, I've chosen to go tonight to Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4 as the basis of this message about passing on the faith. Now, apparently, these first three verses have to do with the responsibility of children to parents, and they do. But I want to come at it from a different approach tonight, and I want to look at all four of these verses, including the three verses that relate to what the children owe their parents from the perspective of mothers and fathers. So would you give attention now to the reading of the Word of God, Ephesians chapter 6, beginning with verse 1 and reading through verse 4. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. I want you to think with me tonight about four precepts that are found in these four verses of Scripture. The first precept found in verse 1 is this: parents, teach your children obedience. If it is the God-given command to sons and daughters to obey their parents, then it is our responsibility as mothers and fathers to teach our children to obey. Look again in verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And I might say, parents, this is a really good verse, an early verse to teach your preschool age sons and daughters. We are to teach them to obey. Now, this phrase translated to obey literally means to listen under. That is, it means to listen with the intent to understand and to follow the commands of those who are in authority over you. Now, who is in authority over children? Well, obviously, mother and father have authority over their sons and daughters. But there are other authorities that God has established in our world. There is the authority of the school teacher. There is the authority of the Sunday school teacher. And when I was a child, I used to oft times get in trouble with Sunday school teachers. and until the teacher would finally have all he could take and take it to my dad. And that's when the trouble ceased, because my dad had his ways of bringing me in line. We are to be under the authority of the school teacher, of the Sunday school teacher, of the pastor. We are to be under the authority of the government, and ultimately all of us are under the authority of God. Now, parents, if you teach your children to obey your authority and your instructions, then that prepares them to obey the authority of God. One of the things that my father taught me when I was a child was to obey his instructions, even if I didn't always understand why he gave those particular instructions. My father would say things like this when I would be asked to do something I didn't want to do and I would protest. He'd say, "Son, there's some things you're going to have to do when you're grown up that you don't want to have to do, but you're going to have to do it. So I'm just teaching you now responsibility." And I thank God for a father who taught me responsibility, that I had to learn it as a child. You see, when we learn to obey and we teach our children to obey our authority, we are training them to obey the authority of God, because the day will come when God's going to ask your sons and your daughters, when they are grown, to do something they don't want to do, to go somewhere they don't want to go, to obey something that they don't understand. But if we teach them while they're young to submit to authority, God-ordained authority, then when they are grown, they will learn to obey God. And so I thank my father for teaching me that. Now, parents, remember, if you desire to see your children saved, that means they're going to obey God. If you desire to see your sons and daughters in the faith, if you desire to see your sons and daughters in heaven, you must teach them to obey you and to obey every level of God-given authority. Now, can I say it? Every child comes equipped with a rebellious heart. That's true because he, just like mom and dad, are son or daughter of Adam. We have an Adamic sin nature. And the old sin nature likes to express itself in rebellion against all manner of authority. And so that means that the mother and the father has the responsibility to teach obedience. And it means that sometimes the mother and the father has the responsibility to exercise godly discipline. Now, discipline is a term that's fallen on disfavor in modern times. Even in my lifetime, it's fallen on disfavor. But God has given us a book of wisdom about discipline. And I want you to see a few verses here. These are just very selective. But look in Proverbs. Proverbs, we'll go first of all to Proverbs chapter 20. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 11. There, the Lord says, through Solomon, Proverbs 20:11, "Even a child is known by his actions, by whether his conduct is pure and right." Our sons and daughters, whether they're preschool or elementary age or adolescents, we can assess what's in their heart by their actions and by their speech. If their conduct is pure and right, then we know that they are coming under the authority of God. But a wayward child, a rebellious child, needs to be brought under godly discipline. Now, let me just give you a few verses here in Proverbs that have to do with discipline. Look in Proverbs chapter 19, verse 18. Just turn back a page or so. Chapter 19, verse 18. "Discipline your son, for in that there is hope. Do not be a willing party to his death." The father or mother who refuses to bring a wayward child under discipline is contributing to his demise. Look in Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 15. Folly is bound up in the heart of a child. But the rod of discipline will drive it far from him. That's the first Bible verse I taught our firstborn when he was just a wee little toddler in the old King James Version. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction will drive it far from him. The fact of the matter is that folly, foolishness is found in the heart of a child. And God has a means to drive that foolishness out of that child's heart, and that child is the rod of discipline. Now look in chapter 23, verses 13 and 14. 23, 13 and 14. Do not withhold discipline from a child. If you punish him with a rod, he will die. He will not die. Punish him with a rod and save his soul from death. Now, many a child is being spanked by a mom or dad, and he's crying out something like this, "You're killing me, you're killing me, I'm dying." But if you do it right, they won't die. I want to suggest tonight that one good spanking, not with your hand, but with the rod of discipline. That might be a ruler, might be your belt, some neutral object. One good spanking administered for disobedience will last a long, long time. Properly disciplined children, disciplined with the rod of correction, don't have to be spanked very often. And if you're putting about a half a dozen little whacks on the backside of your little preschooler every day, you need to find out how to do it God's way. All right, look at another. Look in Proverbs 29. Proverbs 29, verses 15 and 17. Verse 15, the rod of correction imparts wisdom. There are some things that a school-age child or an older preschool child can learn in the seat of his pants through the rod of discipline that he won't learn any other way. The way of wisdom. The rod of correction imparts wisdom, but a child left to itself disgraces his mother. Verse 17, discipline your son and he will give you peace. He will bring delight to your soul. Now hear me, mom and dad. It is your responsibility to discipline your wayward sons and daughters. If you don't do it, it will not be done. Now you can say, well, it's a minor matter. You know, they don't mean anything by it. Fact of the matter is, disobedience to parents in God's sight is no minor matter. I want to tell you tonight that disobedience to parents is not weakness, it's wickedness. You say, well, I don't like you calling my 4-year-old or my 8-year-old wicked. I'm just telling you, this is what the Word of God says. I want you to look with me in Romans chapter 1, verses 28 through 39. And I want you to see what a rogue's gallery of wickedness Paul lists in Romans 1, 28 through 31. And notice right there is disobedience to parents. Romans 1, 28, furthermore, since they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, he, God, gave them over to a depraved mind to do what ought not to be done. They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They're senseless, faithless, heartless, ruthless. That's not a very pleasant description of the human heart. And right there in the midst of slanderers and God-haters and murder are those who disobey their parents. Now, this is not a sermon to children, but children, sons and daughters, boys and girls, listen to your pastor. Listen to God. It's a wicked thing to disobey your parents. Parents, you want them to come to Christ? You want to be in the family? You want to be in the family of faith? You want to be in heaven someday? From birth, begin to teach them to obey. Precept number two, back in Ephesians chapter 6. Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 6. Precept number two, teach your children honor. Teach your children what it means to give honor. Look in verses 2 and 3. Ephesians 6, 2 and 3. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Now, to teach our children honor begins with teaching our children to honor mother and father. And here Paul is quoting from the Ten Commandments. And this is the fifth of the commandments, to honor your father and your mother. Now, how does a child honor father and mother? Well, by living in such a way that credit goes to them and praise goes to them, and they don't bring reproach to the family name. Now, that means that those of us who are parents want to facilitate that and make that easy for them to honor us by living honorably, by fearing God, and by loving God. This word honor literally means to be heavy, to give weight to. It means to elevate to the place of importance. It means to respect and to treasure. And it is the responsibility of parents to train their children to respect mom and dad, to treasure them, to value them. That means, among other things, parents, you do not allow your children to sass you. Do not allow your children to talk back to you. Do not allow your children to speak disrespectfully to you. Teach them to speak respectfully to you. I think it might be considered a little bit picky on the part of some, but for me, I think it's a sad that parents no longer teach their sons and daughters to say, yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. We get a lot of huh and uh-huh. You know, a preschool child can learn to say yes, sir, and no, sir, and yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am. We oftentimes don't get it because we don't ask for it. We're unwilling to work with our sons and daughters until it becomes a second nature ingrained habit in their lives. Teach them to say thank you. You want your sons and daughters to honor you? Teach them helpfulness at home. Teach them to make their bed, clean their room, do their chores, take out the trash. Even to the extent that the day comes when they know to do that without having to be reminded every day. A lazy child dishonors his or her parents. Parents, oftentimes we get what we expect. We don't get much because oftentimes we don't expect much. Teach your children to honor, to give honor, to express honor, to whom honor is due. So much so that they want to seek your counsel. Let me ask you this. Do your children desire your counsel? Do they? Do they want to hear what wisdom you have to share? One of the wisest men I knew was my dad. And I had his counsel for 44 years. And the last 15 years, I haven't had his counsel. I'm a grandfather now. But I desperately miss his counsel. There are
issues that I face at this stage in my journey that I can't talk to anybody about but God. But I could talk to my dad if he was alive. Children, learn to honor your parents. They've learned some things along the way that can help you make life better for you. But don't neglect their counsel. And parents, children who have parents who honor the Lord are more likely to honor God themselves. Do you honor God? Do you? Do you fear God? Do you love God? Do you have a passion for God? We're talking about how to help our kids come to Christ. It's not just a little gospel presentation. There's all the background that goes behind it. Why would they want to go to heaven if they don't see much of heaven in your life? It's not that I can't think of something else to say. It's by design. I'm saying it for the third time tonight. It's as much called as it is taught. Precept number three. Parents, do not exasperate your children. Look in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. Here's a negative command. There are two commands in verse 6. There's a negative command in the first part of the verse and the positive command in the second part of the verse. Here's the negative command. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Every New Testament scholar that I've read said that while the father has the primary responsibility to lead out in these matters, this is not just for fathers. This is for mothers as well. This is for parents. Fathers, mothers, parents, do not exasperate your children. This word to exasperate means to cause them to be irritated, to annoy them, to vex them, to arouse them to resentment. And I just want to say, just don't do it. Don't do it. And I've spoken at some length on this in the past, so I'm not going to be very lengthy here tonight. But I just want to say just a few ways in which parents sometimes unwittingly exasperate their sons and daughters. One is by unfavorable comparisons. You with me? A parent is frustrated with the child, and a parent says to his son or daughter, why can't you be like, and you fill in the blank. It can be your brother, your sister, your cousin, your neighbor, somebody else. An unfavorable comparison. Fact is, all children are not alike. Every one of us are uniquely created by God. We look different physically. We're different in our personalities. We're different in our talents, our abilities, and our gifts. We're not all alike. Some children are athletic, and others are academic. Some are artistic, and others are mechanical. Every child is different, and we can't be alike. Don't make unfavorable comparisons. To do so creates resentment and exasperation in the heart of that child. A second way in which we exasperate our children is by majoring on the minors. It's pretty easy to do that. I expect I'm guilty of it to this very day. Staff could probably tell you I am. I have just certain things that just sort of, just my preferences. We don't chew gum at staff meeting. I think I made that clear years ago. I just don't like chewing gum. Occasionally somebody does, but it's pretty rare. Now, that's not a sin to chew gum. Don't take offense and go join another church because I said that. There's a story behind that, though. In 1968, I kept stepping in chewing gum over and over and over again. So I said, I'm just going to fix it. I'm just going to quit chewing gum, and everybody will follow my example. And we'll quit stepping in gum. I know of one person in the last 40 years who's followed my example. Just one. What a leader. Parents, don't major on the minors. When our son Josh was in high school, he played baseball for Auburn High School, and he liked to wear his baseball cap.